Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Leslie, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 12, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book, wherein there is a solution. We're on page 24, the second paragraph, starting with the almost certain consequences and ending from putting his hand on a hot stove. Today's readers are Tara L., who will read the text, Shelley E., who's reading A Vision for You, and Sherry M. is our backup today. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, March 11th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,277. That's 23277. And for Thursday, March 12th, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 23,279. And I also have Rhonda R. reading the 12 steps and Beth F. reading the 12 traditions. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Leslie. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R., a grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda, for reading the 12 steps for us. And next, I will ask Beth F. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you so much. My name is Beth F. I'm from California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name, ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth F., for reading those 12 traditions, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book, and there is a solution. We're on page 24, that second paragraph. I will now ask Kara L. to start reading and share with us. Thank you, Kara. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Leslie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like ordinary other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. And when Leslie told me the paragraph this morning, I'm like, oh, I love this paragraph. And I know it comes right after one in italics, but this one describes me. You know, it describes me as like, that arrogance of, this time I can handle it like other people. At this time, I don't know how many this times I've had. That idea is, and I love how they call it threadbare, complete failure of a kind of defense that keeps me from putting my hand on a hot stove. I think my brain is so amazing, and it is in many ways. But I also think that I can solve with my brain lots of problems that I can't solve. So I can justify almost anything with my brain so that it sounds logical. And it feels, you know, like, yes, until the 9 seconds after I eat whatever it is, and then I feel the demoralization. And the cycle just keeps getting over and over again. You know, so what happened? What did I have to do? Well, I had to work these steps, right? I had to find a power greater than myself. I had to completely realize that, no, I cannot fix my compulsive eating with my brain. If I could, I would have. So what was the answer? And I was told my whole entire life, like, Work hard, try harder, use your brain, you can do anything. Well, the answer for me today is a power greater than myself. And also to be, you know, to realize that my brain isn't fixing it, and I'm going to have to turn to a power greater than myself and say, I don't know what I'm doing. And just keep asking for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision on everything. You know, I ask my higher power about everything. I invite my higher power into every situation. I say, what am I having for breakfast? Which lipstick should I wear? You know, what shoes am I wearing today? Can you give me a great outfit today? Can I just go with whatever's intuitive? You know, when I walk into a room, I say, God, I invite you into this space with me. In the morning, I say, God, just put in front of me anything you need me to do in this day so I can best serve. The less thinking I do about it and the more trusting I do with it, the more recovery I have today. And with that, I'll pass, and I'm incredibly grateful, and I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Great. Thank you, Kara L., and Kara L. is from California. Thank you for that opening share. I'm now going to take a list of names for people who'd like to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences also. So who would like to share this morning?
Sherry M.
Christina J.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Christina J.
Am I hearing Tanya?
Liz E. UK.
Tanya.
I'm not catching that. I'm sorry. Tanya?
Yes.
Okay.
Christina Tanya? J.
Christina J. There's a J.
Liz okay. E. UK.
Got you, Liz. I have Sherry M., Tanya, Christina J., and Liz E. Who else would like to share? Anybody else want to add to the list? All right, let's start here. Go ahead, Sherry, and please, everyone, share with us where you're calling from so that we can locate you on the member list. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry, hit star one, please.
Oh, there we go. Hello. I am Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I double-muted myself. Thank you so much, Leslie. You're doing a great job leading today, and thank you, Kara, for getting us, and for getting us started, because that was amazing, and I really relate to this paragraph. This paragraph is telling me that there's nothing I can do from killing myself, basically. I mean, it's that extreme with food. I think that the biggest problem for me has been the slow death and not taking it as seriously as my other addictions, which are more life-threatening and, you know, like immediate death and immediate going to the hospital. For me, this is more of the slow bunny kick, as Melissa C. talks about. And there's nothing I can do. I'm such a smart person. You know, I'm a latchkey kid. I learned how to figure things out and take care of myself and survive at a very young age. And I am a problem solver. That is my middle name. But with this disease, there is nothing that my brain can do. No matter how much I tell myself, stop. I videotaped myself once compulsively eating and putting my hand in the bag and telling myself, stop, don't take another bite, don't take another bite, don't take another bite. And there was nothing I could do to stop that. The only thing that I have found that works is self-sacrifice for others, being completely honest with myself and God and my sponsor, making sure that I'm current every single day, which means that any harms that have been created during the day that I am making restitution, I have to level my pride and get on my knees and say, I don't know. I have to admit all of my shortcomings. It's a tall order. This is not easy. And if you are new and you're wondering, why can't I stick to this flu plan? Why can't I do what my sponsor's saying? Because I have no power to do anything. The only thing I can do is pray for a miracle. This is a miracle program, and I can pray and say, God, please help me. I can't. Show me what I need to do. Let me get out of the way and you run my life and let me not be involved in any of the outcomes in any area of my life. And then I might be able to live free from this disease. Thank you so much for letting me share. Can't wait to hear from everyone else. I pass.
Well, thank you, Sherry M. And Sherry M. is from Wyoming. Next up, we have Tanya. And if you could give me your last initial and where you're calling from, Tanya. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Tanya D. as in dog from Illinois. Really grateful to be on the line this morning. This paragraph summarizes for me the key thing that I need to realize as part of taking a step one. I never set out to binge. I know that's not true for everybody, but my plan was always to have just one or just a little bit. And in my mind, it was always a good idea. I never picked up the food. There was that, hazy sometimes the thought maybe this isn't a good idea, but my disease always found a way to convince me that it was a good idea to pick up. And that's what I had to realize, that I was powerless over, that no matter how much I even learned about my disease and how much I knew that this pattern existed, that doesn't help me at all in fixing it. It's necessary so that I can admit that I'm totally powerless over food, but I can't fix it. And it can be hard, right? Because it's quote unquote just food, but for me, it certain things were very much like a drug that once I picked it up, it kind of, even the idea of picking up was really exciting, that anticipation of that first bite. That first bite always works for me, but unfortunately it was almost always, right? Followed by more and more and more, and I could not stop. And for me, the almost certain consequences is also important to remember, because there were times when I didn't pick up after the first bite. They were fewer and farther between. And so then, I could point it and say, but I didn't do it this time. And it doesn't say I will always end up, overeating if I pick up one. It's almost always. And if I, if I go out there and I get into a car crash half the time I drive, I can't claim that I'm a good driver. That is just not normal, And if I almost always go on a binge or, eat more than I intend when I pick up certain things, I can't claim that I've got it under control and that I'm normal. And I'm grateful to be fully 100% convinced of it today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanya D. And she is calling from Illinois. Thank you for your share. Next up, we have Christina J., and she'll be followed by Liz E. Good morning, Christina. And if you could share with us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from Washington State. Most of my eating career, I was in a white-knuckled state of desperation. I rarely had any time of freedom in my soul at all. I was baffled, driven, insane, and I often like to say I was desperate like a shark after blood. I never dreamed of handling myself like other people because I wanted freedom, and I didn't think I could ever handle myself like other people. I knew that once I took a bite, I was off to the races. I tried over and over and over, and in program, I've had so many relapses that this pain has been driven into the core of my bones. Now, I know in this paragraph, it's the beginning. There's failure of turning away. But if you read on 84 and 85, newcomers, or anybody that needs to be reminded, if he's tempted, he recoils as if from a hot flame. Today, if I have a temptation, I can feel that recoiling. I can feel that disgust. I can feel that desperate shark after blood memory from all those relapses I had. So my relapses have served a purpose in helping me recoil today. I can't promise that I won't not recoil in the future because I don't know, but I know one thing, that I've been promised if I stay in this work, that I will recoil. I've been promised that if I keep working on my emotional recovery, which drives me to an obsession of the mind. If I don't turn to God and drive a deeper relationship with that higher power, then I will go back to the food because it's my first defense against my emotional discomfort. It's my first defense around settling down the allergy. Today I have a big defense. I have the biggest defense. It lives in my heart. It's called higher power. It's called love. It's called compassion. It's called humbleness. It's called God. It's called service to others. I have had thousands of experiences where I didn't recoil, where I put my hand on the hot stove and said, F it, I can't do this. And I just dove in, and then, of course, the horror. And I've had some major horrors in this disease by myself, isolated, lonely, and scared to death that I can't do this. And I couldn't diet at one point anymore. I couldn't fathom a diet. Today, I think diets are from the devil. Healthy eating, walking with higher power, being of service to others, to you, to growing in that love that this program brings me. For myself first, I have to love myself and the God within me, and then I can come to you and be humble and great and grateful. You know, I have a couple of nieces that are addicts, and my heart aches for them, as well as everyone else in the world. I saw a lady yesterday at UPS, and she could hardly walk. She was so stuffed and swollen. And I don't know if it's from the food, but I've seen people like that in the food. And I just pray for them because I know the pain. Love you guys. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Christina J. is from Washington. Thank you for your share. Next up, we have Liz E. And if you could share with us where you're calling from. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Liz E for Elegant, and I'm in the UK. I'm just so glad to be here. I've had a relapse, and that's been going for a little while, but it was very subtle and kind of insidious, and I've been living in a ton of self-will. So today, you know, I got myself a new sponsor yesterday, and we've got a plan, and today I'm, you know, shared with people the shame I have around some silly decisions that have gone badly wrong with me that I didn't want to share, but of course God knew. And this paragraph, you know, is, if these thoughts occur, they are hazy. I've been in a hazy space for a little while, and that old threadbare idea that this time I can handle myself, because, you know, I've been coming to these rooms for a little while. But arrogance on my part, pure self-will, and by the bucket load. So I'm just so, so grateful to be here. And, you know, I have no defense, none, absolutely no defense. And my life has just got more and more unmanageable. And I've got some really difficult stuff going on. And it's got more and more difficult and harder. And I have got, my behavior has spiraled to a bad thing. So just wanted to get on and share and reach out and just say, if you're like me, just do that star one. Just say a few words. Thanks a million. Bye.
Thank you, Liz E. from the UK. Thanks for sharing with us today. Appreciate that. And just a reminder for anyone who came in later, there is a solution on page 24, that second paragraph, the almost certain consequences, and keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. And although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm ready to take another list. Who would like to share this morning?
Carrie W. Carrie H. California.
Carrie W.
California. Oregon. Eagle F. San Diego.
I heard somebody from Oregon and somebody from San Diego. Who's from Oregon?
Julie B. Oregon. Julie B.
Julie B. Gotcha. And who's from San Diego?
Liesl F. from San Diego.
Liesl? Okay. I have Carrie W., Julie B., and Liesl. With your last initial S, Liesl? Okay. Anyone else want to join this group? All right. We're going to start off with Carrie W. from California, followed by Julie B., and then Liesl.
Hi.
Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Carrie W. from San Diego, California. Yes, oh my goodness, the almost certain consequences. Certain consequences. You know, that's, I just forget that I'm going to have consequences. You know, I have that complete failure of that memory of what happened the time before. And the last time I relapsed, I was in Europe, in Paris, and I'm like, I have to have a bite of this. You know, I'm in Paris. I have to try this, you know. And I mean, that was such a crazy, complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. I mean, I knew what was going to happen, but for some reason, I just didn't want to think about the certain consequences. And indeed, again, once I had that bite, that first bite, then it triggered the allergy. And so it's, you know, it's, I just have to remember that if I don't take that first bite, I'm going to be okay. You know, if I can just day by day not take the first bite of food, I'm going to put my head on the pillow at night and I'm going to be a success. And that's really the only thing that I need to do, because if I don't take that first bite of food, my life goes so well. You know, my day goes great and my life goes great. I feel good and I have this beautiful life that the book promises. You know, I get to have the happy, joyous, and free. And I love that way of life. So I don't want to do that anymore. I believe that I finally have surrendered after this last time, testing the waters, touching the stove, and I don't want to touch that hot stove anymore. So this time, what I did was jumped in, got a good sponsor, and have been really working the program, all parts of it, to protect myself. I like to think of it as wearing a suit of armor. You know, I've got to keep all my armor on. I don't want anything to get exposed so I can get attacked by this disease, because it's strong. And as long as I do all the parts of this program and keep my triangle strong, I'm going to have my suit of armor on, and I'm going to be okay. So thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you for your share. And Carrie W. is from California. Next up, we have Julie B., followed by Liesl. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much. This is Julie B. in Oregon, compulsive overeater. And the hand on the stove thing is such a great metaphor. I mean, the author of this passage has come with a metaphor that's familiar to all of us so that we can relate to it. And that's when metaphors are the most powerful. So I think about this all the time. If I say to myself, well, I'm at my dad's house and, you know, they made an apple pie, I'll just have one bite and it'll be okay. That's forgetting the lesson. But if I picture my hand I have a gas stove at my house. Picture my hand on those flames burning and my skin peeling and blistering and hurting and smelling. Like, picture that image so strongly. And then I say to myself, oh, I'm at my dad's house. It's okay to burn the crap out of my hand, you know? Oh, it's Christmas. It's okay to put my hand in this fire. Oh, I'm having a really bad day. It's okay to put my hand on this burner. You know, wow, something great happened at work today. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to go home and put my hand on that hot burner. Like, if you say that to yourself, you would never, never hurt yourself in that way for those reasons. And yet we forget that because the food is so seductive. So this metaphor, I use it all the time in my head when I'm tempted to make an excuse. You know, I substitute one bite of cookie with burn my hand on my stove, and then it kind of knocks me to my senses. So thanks, everybody. I appreciate all your shares, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Julie B., for your share this morning. And that's Julie B. is from Oregon. And next I have Liesl. Good morning, Liesl.
Good morning. Just so grateful to be here. And, you know, in my recent relapse, which is just a few days ago, I, praise God, was able to pray in the middle of it. And that's so good. I mean, even the worst days in program are still way better than the best days outside of program. And I thank God, you know, in those moments where I just say to myself, I deserve it. I know what I'm doing. I'm numbing out. I realize I hate being taken away from my God, and that's what it does, is it pulls me away, and all I want is to be close to God. I got into these rooms because I thought I was insane. I was eating 6 bagels and a stick of butter, and my tummy hurt so bad, and yet I kept eating, and I remember thinking, this isn't normal, and that night I jumped online and discovered OA, and I surrendered to God because I just said, God, please save me. And I didn't know the program. I didn't know what Step 3 was. And he came to me, and thus I found you guys. And the answer has been God ever since. And I just have to keep remembering that, and the grace that he gives me. And every day is a new day, but prayer has been the best medicine of all. And scripture, you know, it's incredible, living, breathing word. And the prayers that are in this program, at first they're just a slogan, and then it's more and more. And so that's why I come in every day, because when I hear you guys say something, it just resonates all the more deeper. So I pray to keep open ears, open eyes, and help me to hear and see what I need to hear so I can be of maximum service to you. And if you want to call me, you can. And I pray that we all have a blessed day and get one step closer to helping each other and to doing God's will.
Thank you, Liesl. And was your last initial S as in Sam? Okay, I think that's Liesl S. from California. Okay, everyone, we are on page 24, second paragraph.
It was Liesl S. as in Frank.
S. as in Frank. Thank you so much, Liesl. So that's Liesl S. As in Frank from California. Okay,
Polly,
so we're on page 20. Polly Q.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Susan S.
Susan S.
Lucinda
F. Okay. Lucinda S. in Texas. Great. Anybody else want to join this list?
Jill T. Texas.
Jill T. Texas. Okay, I think that might take us out, guys. All right, so I have Polly Q. from California, Freya H. in Colorado, Susan S. I didn't get where you're from. Lucinda F. from Texas, and Jill T. from Texas. So we're going to start with Polly Q. from California. Good morning, Polly.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. Can you hear me?
I can very well. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, the one thing I hear whenever I get on this meeting is there's a lot of us, for one thing, because I've been in OA for a bazillion years, and I've been in this meeting for about 9 years. And I'm abstinent by the grace of God and by realizing more and more and more that, wow, there's a lot of us. And we all look and think about and use food the same way. And that way is so disturbing that I've come to this meeting for 9 years. And not just once in a while, I come on a regular basis. I try to share at least once a week. And so we are, and I was in the rooms of OA, all different kinds of rooms for a long time. So what is it about this paragraph that speaks to me? And that is the most obvious thing. It's talked about a lot in the doctor's opinion, which, by the way, I never heard in 13 years of meetings. Never heard the doctor's opinion in OA. And it's the most pertinent to this paragraph because this paragraph says, it talks, I can't stop. There must be an allergy of the body because Bill wants to stop. Mentally, he wants to stop. Emotionally, he wants to stop. So there must be an addictive thing going on here that triggers the body to override my knowing that I'm an addict. It's the food. And so when I came into this meeting, I was abstinent. And then one night I was coming home from work. I was supposed to meet some people from work at a restaurant. And I could feel it because I had had some neutrality around the food, which was a miracle. And I could feel the urge, the fear about going into that restaurant and being presented with that food. And I knew I was going to have to sit at that table. It was a business meeting. And oh, my gosh, I was terrified. Even though I'd been abstinent for like 6 months, I was terrified. And I realized I got to call somebody. I got to call somebody because this food is going to call to me. I'm going to be sitting in it and it's going to call to me. And I can't just, it's not going to be my food plan in front of me. And oh, I called someone in the program. I had never talked with her before and she talked me down. So I urge me to remember, I have an allergy of the body as deadly as if I was allergic to peanuts. It'll just kill me slower. I cannot mess around with this physical allergy. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly Q, and Polly is from California. Next up, we have Freya H, followed by Susan S. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, everybody. Freya H., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor, and I am in Colorado. The word that comes to mind from this paragraph is compulsion. That, to me, paints a really good picture of what's going on with me. You know, when I hear the word powerless, it's not as pointed, not as descriptive, not as illustrative, but when I can imagine that I am operating under a compulsion, it's very clear to me, I don't have a choice. There's something, it's like I'm watching myself do something that I can't really stop. And it's like, I'm just kind of along for the ride. Like, oh, I wonder what my compulsion's going to make me do this time. So I find that to be, I really like the shark after blood. I think that's a perfect illustration of the phenomenon of craving that Dr. Silkworth describes, because it doesn't necessarily happen before I ingest the alcoholic food or engage in the alcoholic behavior. It's after that it really intensifies. So that's a fantastic illustration. Thanks for that. I'm going to take that with me. And in this paragraph, the word threadbare, you know, this old threadbare idea, and, you know, something that's threadbare is worn. It's been used a zillion times and it's, you know, maybe not really holding up. So this threadbare idea that, no, this time I'm going to handle it like other people. It's going to be normal. And I'm just going to keep going back to that threadbare idea, and it's going to work just as well as it worked last time, which was it didn't. So, the last line about, you know, this putting my hand on a hot stove, when we get to the 10 step promises, they tell us that we are going to recoil as from a hot flame. So that's the good news, is that when we go through this process, we are going to get that instinctual protective reaction back. We are going to get our defense. It's not from us, it's from our higher power and the spiritual experience. So thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. And Freya H. is from Colorado. Next up, we have Susan F., followed by Lucinda F. Good morning, Susan. If you could share with us where you're calling from.
Good morning. Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute. I'm in California. Good morning. excuse me, dealing with allergies. I want to say thank you to those who have shared before, who previously in this meeting, where they mentioned their connection with God and how they seek Him in all things. And I recently had a situation where I was contemplating what step three was about, and am I willing to give all of that to God? Am I willing to give my thoughts and all of those things to God? Am I willing to refer to Him to everything, for all of my thoughts, for all of my decisions? And I had a conversation with someone about that, and I was laughed at. And I thought, oh, I've taken it too far. And this is a problem, a recurring problem I have, that I think that if somebody doesn't agree with me, that I am wrong and they are right. And I knew I wasn't wrong, but I didn't trust God, and I didn't trust what the Holy Spirit was telling me in my gut. And that ended up to be something that ended up biting me in the booty. And just yesterday, actually. And I hope I am learning to better trust my intuition, and that when I did take step three, that I was sincere. I remember crying when I was saying the prayer, and meant it, because it meant that I was surrendering myself, and that meant decisions, even decisions that, you know, may seem frivolous to others, yet that's, God wants to be involved in everything in my life. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who were willing to share that this morning. I really needed to hear that today, and I pray that I will continue to learn that my intuition is not inaccurate, and to take my questions to God when I'm not certain what they mean and what interactions I have. And this program is helping me with that, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan S. from California. And next we have Lucinda S. and Jill T., and we only have 5 minutes, so if you could each take 2.5 minutes, that would be great. Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning, Lucinda.
From Texas.
Go ahead.
And I can definitely do it in 2 minutes. Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Thank you.
Okay. So, yes, I hear so much in these wonderful shares this morning. I'm so glad to hear you all on the line, and thank you for your service. I hear the part about the fallacy of my own mind, and it's very interesting. I can do the same things over and over and over, and there's still that same compulsion behind it. But with the grace of the program and help from the Big Book and all of you, I also now have another experience. And the other experience is when I work my program and I'm light, I forget the words in the Big Book that describe it, but I'm spiritually fit, I'm connected with my higher power, then things happen that I could never foresee and never plan simply by me letting go of my control. And with that, I can pass. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Lucinda. Lucinda F. from Texas. Thank you. And next we have Jill T. from Texas. And Jill, you have the full 3 minutes. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Gosh, I've got so much on my mind. I know I'm struggling in a lot of areas today, mainly because I'm off work for spring break. And, you know, my higher power has been showing me that I keep myself busy to ignore my true, what's really going on inside of me. And also, when I have these days off work, I can catch a live meeting every day. And I am so grateful for that, yet it's just really rubbing me like sandpaper. But I think that's a good thing. I love this, the detail that Bill goes into, the honesty, the transparency of the suffering of the addict. And it's so true. I hear that hazy voice, you know, telling me, this isn't such a good idea, but my complete failure to use it. Unbelievable, such great detail. But I've heard wonderful things on this, on the line today. I circle a lot, I take notes a lot, and I'm grateful for that. When I get off the phone, I have to look at some of my medical expenses, and that makes me very frustrated. I don't like looking at my limitations. but I also know that when I stick close to my higher power, what seems to be a limitation is just an open door to learn about him more and learn what he wants me to do and how he wants me to handle things. And that's a good thing, because my will is so deceptive and pretty corrupt. So just grateful for that. Thank you, everyone, and have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill T. from Texas. And we do have one more minute if there's someone who has a burning desire. Or we can
Hi, this is Denise.
This is Alexis.
This is Denise.
I heard Denise first. Denise, what's your first initial and where are you calling from?
P in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Okay, go ahead. You have 1 minute, Denise.
I thank you who gave the shark after blood. At first, I didn't really know. Then this reinforcement. But then I wrote and just wanted to, okay, it's like that illustration, like a shark after blood. And I wrote, I need to ask, whose blood is it? And it's mine. I'm after the own to kill that good in me. And thank you, everyone who shared about coming back from relapse. I pass.
Thank you, Denise. And Denise, your last initial was P, as in Paul?
That's correct. Thank you, moderator.
All right. Thank you. That was our last share today, Denise P. from Pennsylvania. Okay. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley E., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Leslie, for taking the meeting. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Excuse me, the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. And God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for listening.